Is it true about you and the Delaney sisters?
Is what true?
Come on, Harry. There aren't any secrets on a ship this small.
Harry rolls his eyes at Tom.
What have you been telling people?
Well, we did take that trip to Venice with them.
The holodeck? You gotta be kidding. Well, that lasted all of 15 minutes.
Yeah, you know, I've been meaning to ask you, what happened when you and Jenny Delaney disappeared in that gondola?
Nothing.
Harry, we're your friends. You can tell us.
Nothing. We talked. And then I fell over the side.
You fell out of the gondola?
I think maybe Harry wasn't quite prepared for how voracious Jenny Delaney can be.
I think it's finally beginning to happen. Both crews getting along.
That kind of bonding should improve performance and maximize efficiency.
Yes, I'm sure it will.
Bridge to Captain Janeway.
Go ahead.
Captain, we're receiving a distress call in one of the lower subspace bands.
I'm on my way.
The captain and Tuvok hurry back to the bridge.
Report, Commander.
The subspace distress signal is coming from a vessel bearing 125 Mark 21, distance 200,000 kilometers.
Captain, sensors indicate 5 life forms aboard.
The vessel is altering its course to intercept us.
Go to yellow alert and slow to impulse. Hail them, Mr. Kim.
Aye, Captain.
This is Captain Catherine Janeway of the Federation Starship Voyager. What is the nature of your emergency?
We have no emergency.
But you're sending out a distress call.
Yes, we are.
Why?
Because you are in distress.
The captain and Chakotay look at each other, puzzled by the brightly dressed stranger's words. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager. Based on Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, this episode is entitled Prime Factors, voiced by Roland Behan. Gas explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation Starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The Starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas. Its flat, oval bow, raised above and forward of the cylindrical body, to which the engine arms are fixed, forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow, surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet, streaked with clouds, turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets, in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun, eclipsed by a satellite moon, is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing. The cross-shaped alien craft approaches Voyager.
I am Gathra Laban of the planet Sicaris. Please, let us welcome you to our system, show you the hospitality of our people.
That's very kind of you.
If I could come aboard your ship, I have gifts for you and a proposal I hope you will find irresistible.
All eyes are on the captain.
Mr. Tuvok, make the necessary arrangements to receive our guest.
Tuvok leaves the bridge. Janeway and Gath exchange a friendly smile. Kes and Neelix are hard at work in the kitchens.
Mr. Laban, it really isn't necessary to go to all this trouble.
Please, call me Gas. And I promise you I would like nothing better than to prepare a few of our newest delicacies for you. Ah, this would be perfect.
Captain, I'm serving lunch in less than 2 hours.
We won't be long, Neelix. This is Gath. He's from Sicaris.
Ooh, Sicaris.
Do you know the planet?
Yeah, only stories about their incredible hospitality.
Tell me, how do you know about us?
Our people are very well traveled.
Some of them have brought back stories about the ship of aliens from another part of the galaxy. People lost and alone, struggling to find their way home again.
This is wonderful.
And I decided to come and meet you and offer you respite.
Respite?
A vacation, if you will. Get away from the confines of the ship. Enjoy the beauty of our landscape. Meet and talk with interesting, learned people.
And the crew would certainly welcome a little shore leave, Captain.
And I hear the Sicarians have a huge variety of edible plants. If we could collect some seeds, we'd expand our selection significantly.
Sounds like all this would increase performance and maximize efficiency, don't you think, Mr. Tuvok?
Indeed.
Well, Gath, looks like you're getting visitors. We'll set a course and follow you in.
I could not be happier.
Arriving at the fertile green planet Sicaris, Gath escorts Janeway.
If you see anything you like, just let me know.
Janeway approaches a fabric vendor.
What is this material? It's so delicate.
Exquisite, isn't it? It's the latest import from the Destris. It's spun from the petals of a flower that blooms only in moonlight. Shall I have a dress made for you?
It's lovely, but no, thank you.
Is it so hard for you to accept a gift?
All right, but something small. Maybe a scarf?
What a curious people you are. Tell me, would it help if I said that you could have an entire wardrobe made from these beautiful fabrics and that it would give all of us pleasure to create it for you?
Let's start with the scarf.
As you like. Which cloth do you prefer?
As the captain examines the fabrics, Harry sees a young woman coaxing sounds from what looks like a large harp.
That's beautiful. Are you a musician?
This isn't a musical instrument. It's an atmospheric sensor. The frequency of the chimes indicates changes in weather conditions.
Then it must work on a principle of nonlinear resonance, adjusting to the dynamic variables in the atmosphere.
That's exactly right. Are you a scientist?
In a sense. Can you show me how to operate it?
I'd be happy to. First, you have to initialize the subharmonic mode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think this one.
When I see you wearing that scarf, my pleasure will be greater than yours.
Well, I should get back. But with your permission, I'd like to start organizing teams to gather plants and seeds.
This is my associate, Jarrett Hotel. You may contact him to make any necessary arrangement.
We'll be glad to assist you in any way, Captain.
I'll find my officers and we'll return to the ship.
Tonight, we are having a celebration here. I hope you and your officers will be my guests.
We'd be delighted.
She looks almost embarrassed as she leaves the smiling Gath.
Stardate 48642.5. The crew is enjoying an evening on Sicaris. They are discovering, to their delight, that reports of this species' hospitality have not been exaggerated.
So the whole thing exploded, and there we were, 70,000 light years from home and no way to get back. Felt pretty lonely.
That's a very noble story.
Noble?
Stories can be whimsical or frightening or melancholy or many other things. But noble stories are the ones that can most affect our lives. May I have your permission to tell others this story?
Sure. It's no secret.
But stories are an essential part of every person's being. I would never share one without permission.
Go right ahead. I've got a few others, too.
You do? Come with me. I know a private place where you can tell me all your stories. Stand close to me. Alastria.
They vanish from the glowing raised dais and reappear in a dense forest.
Where are we?
The woods of Alastria. My favorite place. I usually come here when I want to spend time alone, but tonight, it seemed right to bring you. Now, Tell me your stories. All of them.
Why is it so much warmer here? What is that?
The Dawn Zephyr.
Dawn? We just got here. That is an amazing feeling. What's happening?
The Erosine winds. Passion winds. Come just before the dawn. The Erosine creates euphoria.
I'll say.
Looking even more beautiful in the dawn's golden glow, the girl's arms encircle Harry's neck.
Why am I seeing two suns?
Because this is a binary system.
But your planet only has one sun.
But Alastria has two.
Yadana. Where are we?
I told you. Alastria. A system far from Sakaris.
How far?
Do you have to ask all these questions?
Please, it's important.
Alastria is about 2.5 billion times the distance between Sakaris and its sun.
It's almost 40,000 light years.
Now, feel the breeze.
We have to go back.
It's still night on Sakaris. We have plenty of time.
We're going back. And I need you to tell me everything you know about that platform that got us here.
And tomorrow night, you must let me take you to the theater.
Oh, my. I have lost all track of time. My crew has gone. I'm the last one here.
I hope that's because you are enjoying yourself.
I am.
Janeway and Gath seem about to kiss.
Captain, excuse me for interrupting, but I've just found out about something incredible.
Calm down, Ensign. What is it?
That platform. It's a transportation device, extremely sophisticated. It operates on the principle of folding space.
That's something that's been theorized. But no one's ever been able to develop the technology.
Well, these people have. I've just been to Alastria and back. Alastria is 40,000 light years away.
We call it a spatial trajector. We're able to travel to all the planets in this quadrant.
How far can it take you?
Alastria is at the uttermost limits of its range.
Apparently, it's never been used to move anything as large as Voyager. But as I understand the principle of space folding, the size of the object isn't relevant.
What do you think? Would it be possible to modify your technology so we could use it?
I tried to tell him.
What is it?
We cannot share our technology. Once it's out of our control, it might fall into the hands of those who would abuse it. And our canon of laws strictly forbids that.
But we wouldn't abuse it. Don't you see what it would mean to us?
Please, don't make it more difficult for me. I don't enjoy denying you this, but our canon of laws has determined our entire system of values. To break one of its precepts would undermine everything we believe in. I'm sorry. But there can be no exceptions to the law.
Tin hangs her head, and disappointment is etched on Harry's features. Later aboard Voyager.
I can't believe they're not going to help us. Some kind of hospitality.
40,000 light years. Even if that's as far as we could go, it would still knock about 4 decades off our trip.
And the possibility exists that we could reconfigure the Matrix at that point. To take us another 30,000 light years, right into Federation space.
Since they've already said no, this kind of thinking is only going to make you feel worse.
It's the first time we've been on the other side of the fence.
What fence?
The one that's made of binding principles.
We have our own set of rules, which includes the Prime Directive. How many times have we been in the position of refusing to interfere when some kind of disaster threatened an alien culture? It's all very well to say we do it on the basis of an enlightened principle. But how does that feel to the aliens? I'm sure many of them think the Prime Directive is a lousy idea.
Even we think so sometimes.
I know of many times when Starfleet personnel have decided on strong ethical grounds to ignore it. Still, there's a reason why it's Starfleet's General Order Number 1. On the whole, it does a lot more good than harm.
Captain, it occurs to me that we know little about the Sicarians. We cannot assume that their first refusal is unalterable. It may be that no is simply a prelude to negotiation.
He's right. Maybe they can be reasoned with.
Maybe they want something. Maybe they'll bargain.
But what do we have to offer? They seem to have everything they need.
They pause, thinking hard.
Stories. Stories are an important part of their culture. They seem to provide more than entertainment. They're kind of a measuring rod of values and beliefs. We have a huge library in our databanks. We could offer them the whole thing. All the great literature of dozens of cultures.
What do you think, Captain? Would they be interested?
They just might be. From what we've seen of them, they're a remarkably pleasure-oriented people. They might appreciate a gift of literature. I'll arrange to meet with Gath. As magistrate, he has the authority to make this decision.
In the meantime, I'm going to take a look at that trajector platform. Maybe I can figure out how it works.
You'll do nothing of the sort, Lieutenant. If I find this law is negotiable, I'll make every attempt to get the technology. But until then, we won't do anything that might violate their canon of laws as we understand it. That's all.
As the meeting breaks up, Harry pauses by B'Elanna, who is still seated.
What's wrong?
I just hope she gets it.
She will.
Harry pats her reassuringly on the shoulder. The captain is entertaining Gath in her quarters.
Mm-hmm. Exquisite. And what did you say you call it?
Pecan pie.
I must have the recipe.
I'd be happy to share it with you. Gath, I want you to know I understand your reluctance to share your technology with us. We have similar restrictions. But I wondered, would it make any difference if I gave you my word that we would destroy the trajector matrix as soon as we'd used it?
I know this will upset you, but I can't.
I understand. And frankly, I suspected as much. But I have a proposal which might allow you to obey your laws and still give us what we want.
She smiles warmly.
Surely you could use the trajector to send us. 40,000 light years would mean a great deal to us. And in return, we're prepared to offer you something you might enjoy.
Oh.
A full library of the Federation's finest literature.
Literature?
Centuries of stories. New stories from diverse cultures. Stories that fire the imagination.
You certainly know how to tempt me, Captain. It's certainly possible. I'll have to meet with the other magistrates to discuss it. No one has ever made a request like that. In the meantime, I'd like to enjoy every bite of this... How did you call it?
Pecan pie.
As Gath's attention returns to his food, Janeway's smile freezes. She fixes him with a steely gaze. In engineering, there is a flurry of activity.
I finished the maintenance check on the shock attenuation cylinders. They'll have to be replaced in another 2,000 hours, but we'll face that problem when we come to it. Seska.
Sorry. I wasn't concentrating. What did you say?
You looked a million light years away.
No. Only about 70,000. My brother's birthday is in 4 days. Last year I promised I'd meet him on Nyvok, celebrate with him. He'll think I broke my promise. But I'm dead.
B'Elanna hesitates, unsure what to say, and crosses to her console.
What are you doing?
I've been thinking. The folding of space should leave a subspace residue. If we can detect one, we might be a step closer to knowing how the trajector works.
Look at that neutrino dispersion pattern. Could that be a result of space folding?
Maybe. If the device creates a neutrino bubble around whatever's being trajected.
If that's the case, we'd need a bubble big enough for the ship. Don't worry, Lieutenant. I'm with you on this one. After all, it doesn't hurt to theorize.
Right. And hypothetically, if we could modify the deflector array to emit phase neutrinos, we could create a big enough bubble.
Let's give it a try. In theory, of course.
B'Elanna, Carey, and Seska turn their attention to the console. Meanwhile, back on the surface, Harry is with Udana.
I don't understand. Why is it so important I come here
now?
You'll
see in a minute. We're here.
Good evening, Ensign. Thank you for coming.
What's this about?
I asked Udana to invite you here because I was sure you would respond to her, and because it would look perfectly natural. I am prepared to accept your collection of literature in exchange for our trajector technology.
Is that something you're authorized to do?
Officially, no. But many people believe that rules should be flexible enough to meet the needs of the moment. There is a great desire here for new stories, and I want to be the one to supply them.
So you'd stand to benefit from this arrangement, right?
We would both benefit. I would gain prestige, and you would gain 40,000 light years in your journey home, possibly more. This is it, Ensign, the matrix of the trajector.
Harry examines the metallic object.
Captain Janeway has asked the magistrate to send us 40,000 light years.
He won't. He never had any intention of helping you leave here.
Jared is right. I know how much it means to you to get home. Please, listen to him.
You must believe me when I tell you this is the only way you will make that journey. Consider my offer. I'm sure you will decide it is a fair one.
I don't know what to do. I know we'd all like to get that much closer to home. I don't think Captain Janeway is going to go for getting the technology like that.
Maybe she will. After all, it's a Sicarian who's making the offer.
But it's not above board. The captain is only going to deal with an official representative.
Bridge to Ensign Kim. The captain can see you now.
Just tell her everything you know. Let her take it from there. Right. I'll walk you part way. I'm headed for bed.
Somehow, I have a bad feeling about this. It's just not going to work out.
Don't you think that's up to us?
What does that mean?
It means that we can sit here and let someone make the decision for us, or we can take matters into our own hands. We've been offered the grand prize. All we have to do is step up and claim it.
Take the technology? Without permission?
Since when do you talk like that? Do you think permission is more important than getting us halfway home? The captain is so infatuated with the Sicarian magistrate, she can't think straight. We can't trust that she's going to make the best decision for all of us. If we do this, we'll need to use engineering to configure the matrix. It would be a lot easier if we knew we could count on you.
Seska, I am a senior officer now. I have responsibilities.
And the main responsibility for everyone on this ship is to try to find a way home. Captain Janeway made that clear from the beginning. That's our primary mission. Just think about it. That's all.
Now alone, B'Elanna sits deep in thought, pondering her decision.
Did Jared explain what he meant when he said Gath had no intention of helping us leave?
No. He just made it clear that our only choice was to get the trajector technology from him.
He may simply want us to believe that, so we would deal with him.
Possibly. But somehow I suspect he's right. Thank you for coming to me with this, Ensign. It may muddy the situation somewhat, but it helps me force the issue. Dismissed.
Good night, Captain. Lieutenant?
As Harry leaves, Janeway turns towards the window with a helpless gesture.
Oh, Tuvok, what do I do now?
You would seem to have two options. Continue to negotiate with a man who may have a hidden agenda.
Or deal with a man who is willing to defy his own laws.
Not very pretty choices.
At least if you deal with Jarrett, it is his law that is being compromised, not ours.
But does that matter? I told the crew when we started this journey that we'd be a Starfleet crew. Behaving as Starfleet would expect us to. That means there's a certain standard I have to uphold. Principles, principles. That's what it comes down to. Do I compromise my almighty principles? But how do I not compromise them? If it involves a chance to get the crew more than halfway home. How do I tell them? My principles are so important. I would deny them that opportunity.
I believe the first thing you must do is determine whether or not Gath is willing to use the trajector to help us. If that possibility exists at all, you must explore it.
You're right. Thank you, Tuvok.
She pats him affectionately on the arm. Later, back on the surface...
Have you spoken with the other magistrates about using the trajector?
Actually, I haven't. Some of them are traveling now, but I assure you I will do it. I've already seen all those.
It's becoming a matter of some urgency.
Oh, why?
We've imposed on you for long enough.
Not true. We welcome you for as long as you can stay. And I hope that's a very long time indeed.
They sit on a curved bench.
My crew is eager to continue our journey. Once they realized the trajector might bring us 40,000 light years closer to home.
Why are you so consumed with this desire to get home? I find it difficult to understand.
Home? It's home. It's where we belong.
Couldn't you create a new home here with us? Can you imagine a more delightful place to live, where you could pass your time extracting pleasure from every moment? I promise you. You and I have many such moments to explore.
Yes. But for how long? I've seen how quickly you get tired of your pleasures. All that interests you is what's new and unexplored. After a day or two, it becomes commonplace.
Yes?
We prefer permanence. The reward of relationships that endure and grow deeper with the passing of time.
You would lose those notions if you stayed with us.
You may be right. And that's why we have to leave.
We have offered you nothing but hospitality. Is this how you repay us? With an attack on our beliefs?
I'm sorry. I was just trying to illustrate the differences between us.
I don't enjoy being judged like this. It's very upsetting. Not at all pleasurable.
That's all you really care about, isn't it? Your pleasure. All your hospitality. Your graciousness. It was never about giving us pleasure. It's all been to gratify yourselves. We're nothing more than the latest novelty.
You're hostile and vicious. You would infect the joyousness of our lives. You must leave immediately.
You never had any intention of helping us, did you?
Of course I did. I did everything in my power to persuade you to stay here.
Janeway to Voyager. One to beam up.
Janeway dematerializes, leaving Gath standing tight-lipped. Shortly, she strides onto the bridge of Voyager.
Cancel all shore leave and recall the away teams. We've been asked to leave.
Aye, Captain.
I assume that means Gath will not be assisting us.
I don't think he ever had any intention of helping us. He just strung us along.
Are you considering Jarrett's offer?
Oh, I wish I could. But I can't.
Captain, it'll take hours to get everyone up. We've got crew members scattered throughout both hemispheres.
Get them back as quickly as you can, Commander. I think we've overextended our stay here. I'll be in my ready room.
She walks out, clearly distressed. Tuvok stands with a thoughtful look on his face.
I've downloaded the Federation library. It's all on these chips. We know the man to contact. He wants the library and he doesn't care who gives it to him. We're under orders. Bilana. Right now, our people are still fighting Cardassians, dying for our cause.
Settlers in the demilitarized zone are still under attack. We made a promise, Bellana, that we'd all stick together until the zone was safe. And I intend to keep that promise.
I have a wife and two little boys. I don't want them to grow up without a father. I'd do anything to prevent that.
We're not the only ones. Everyone wants to get back. They're just waiting for someone to act.
I've been working on the theory that the trajector operates within a neutrino envelope. If that's true, I think we can use it as many times as we need. Until we're all the way home.
Just think. By tomorrow, we could be there.
Bellana hesitates, caught in an impossible position.
All right. Let's do it.
Seska and Carey smile in triumph and head for the transporter room.
With shore leave cancelled, are we able to get to the surface undetected? We'll have to override the security lockout, but that shouldn't be a problem.
It's not accepting my security code.
Reinitialize the lockout buffers.
I did. It's not working. Someone's altered the security subroutine.
Why would anyone do that? Never mind. Beam me down. Are you crazy? Security will find you out before you get there.
All stare in surprise as the door opens to reveal Tuvok, carrying a small case. Wordlessly, he enters the transporter room.
I altered the security subroutines. Any attempt to override the lockout would have alerted me to your presence here. Is this Voyager's library, which you intended to trade for the trajector technology?
Yes.
When I attempted to download it, I noticed it had already been accessed.
You were going to download it?
I will make the exchange with Jared Otell.
The three stare open-mouthed as Tuvok moves to stand on the transporter.
Return to your stations. Do what you can to prepare the ship for the Matrix. Energize.
Carey operates the mechanism and Tuvok vanishes. They are still lost for words. Captain Janeway enters the bridge.
Mr. Tuvok is on the surface now, Captain. He says the remaining away teams should be on board within 15 minutes.
Are all the food supplies secured?
Aye, Captain. As soon as the last of the crew gets back, we'll be ready to leave.
Bridge to engineering.
Taurus here.
We'll be leaving orbit within minutes. Ready all propulsion systems.
We're ready now, Captain.
Where's Tuvok?
He'll be here. We certainly won't leave without him.
Well, what's keeping him?
Calm down. You're going to draw attention to yourself.
At that moment, Tuvok enters with the trajector matrix and hands it to Taurus.
Do not attempt to activate the device until I've spoken to Captain Janeway.
Seska snatches the matrix.
What are you doing?
He said not to activate it. I'm not. I'm just going to try the interface simulation. We don't even know if it will interface. We can give ourselves a head start by testing it now.
All right. But just a simulation.
Inserts the two tubes protruding from the trajector's casing into a box on the engineering console. She activates a switch on top of the mechanism.
It's working.
I was right. It operates within a neutrino envelope.
The trajector field is bigger than anything we've created by 10 orders of magnitude.
To get a field that size, you'd need an amplifier as big as a planet.
I don't understand. How did they get that kind of amplification?
I'll show you. Sicarus has a mantle of tetrahedral quartz 20 kilometers thick. The crystalline structure of the mantle serves to focus and amplify the trajector field.
If that's how the power transfer occurs, then once we leave orbit, we lose the ability to traject.
We don't have time to test it. We'll have to try it now, or forget it.
Do it.
If there are any compatibility
problems...
Then
we can abort. This is our only chance.
Bridge to engineering.
Taurus here. We're ready to leave orbit. Thrusters online.
Aye, Captain.
We have to do something.
Mr. Paris, take us out of orbit. 4,000 kph.
Aye, Captain. There's no response. Thrusters are offline.
Janeway to engineering. What's going on, Lieutenant?
We've got a phase variance in plasma conduit 3. I'll have to check it out before we can engage thrusters.
When did this problem show up?
Just now, Captain. It's only a slight variance. I'll have it fixed in a minute.
Keep me advised. All right. The matrix is activating.
The trajector field is forming.
And it's amplifying. Look how fast it's expanding.
That's the effect of the quartz mantle. We're nearly at full field strength. This is going to work.
What is it?
The plasma manifold is becoming unstable. I can compensate for that.
The manifold is being bombarded by antineutrinos from the trajector field.
Antineutrinos? They must be the catalyst for the space folding process.
It's not working. I can't compensate for the instability.
There's no way to compensate for a field that size.
Engineering is suddenly filled with vapor.
Captain, I'm showing an unstable plasma manifold. We're headed for a breach.
Bridge to Taurus. What's happening?
We're reading a warp core breach up here.
We're on it, Captain. No time to talk. Shut down the matrix.
I can't. It's not responding.
It's fused.
Plasma temperature at 43 million Kelvin. Carrie, get everybody out.
All right, people, let's go right now. Move it up. Move out. Come on, let's go right now. Let's go. Come on. Move it out fast right now. Keep moving.
I can't unlock it. The command matrix is sealed.
Plasma temperature at 50 million Kelvin.
Torres destroys the trajector with her phaser.
Anti-neutrino bombardment has stopped. Plasma temperature dropping.
B'Elanna sits down unsteadily and buries her head in her hands.
We didn't anticipate anti-neutrinos. The trajector could never be compatible with Federation technology.
I'll start erasing the sensor locks. We can blame it on the phase discrepancy.
No. We're not going to cover this up.
Are you crazy? We don't have to take the blame for this.
But we're going to.
We disobeyed orders. Gambling it would pay off. It didn't. And now we just can't pretend like nothing happened. I don't understand. There's no need for this.
I'm sorry if you don't get it, Seska. But it has something to do with being able to live with yourself.
That doesn't sound like you. You've changed.
If that's true, I take it as a compliment.
B'Elanna exits with tears in her eyes.
I take full responsibility for what happened. There were others involved, but I was the senior officer, and the culpability is mine.
Lieutenant Torres is not precisely correct, Captain. She was not the senior officer involved. I was.
Janeway stares in disbelief.
You?
It was I who made the exchange. The Federation Library for the Trajector Matrix.
Janeway is completely lost for words and struggles with the conflicting emotions welling up inside her.
I will deal with you in a moment. I don't have the luxury of throwing you in the brig for the rest of this voyage. I need you. I need every person on this ship. But I want you to know how very deeply you have disappointed me. If there are any further transgressions, even a minor one, you will no longer be an officer on this crew. Is that clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Dismissed. I don't even know where to start. I want you to explain to me how you, of all people, could be involved in this.
It is quite simple, Captain. You have made it clear on many occasions that your highest goal for the crew was to get them home. But in this instance, your standards would not allow you to violate Sakarian law. Someone had to spare you the ethical dilemma. I was the logical choice, and so I chose to act.
You did it for me. Because you knew I couldn't.
I accept the consequences of my actions. I expect to lose my commission and to be court-martialed when we return to Federation space.
The captain can only stand and shake her head. She moves around the desk and approaches until she is standing right at Tuvok's shoulder.
You are one of my most valued officers. And you are my friend. It is vital that you understand me here. I need you. But I also need to know that I can count on you. You are my counsel. The one I turn to when I need my moral compass checked. We have forged this relationship for years, and I depend on it. I realize you made a sacrifice for me. But it's not one I would have allowed you to make. You can use logic to justify almost anything. That's its power. And its flaw. From now on, bring your logic to me. Don't act on it behind my back.
You have my word. My logic was not in error, but I was.
She turns her back on him to hide her emotions.
Dismissed.
Tuvok leaves. The captain's features seem to sag, and she buries her face in her hands. Voyager continues its course into the infinite reaches of space. The end.